It's all in the family today on Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. A mother and daughter team, Liz and Lucy LaRoe, have written a book. We'll hear about it today on Scribble. Well, we got everybody crowded in the studio today just to find out about how this works. When you say the two of you have written a book, who actually wrote it? Who came up with the story?
Well, we both kind of came up with the story, but she mostly writes it, and then I mostly edit it, like, into a kid's mind.
Oh, you have a kid's mind?
Yes.
And it's based on her experiences actually at Logan Elementary in Moline. And at that time, she was raising money for a playground for the school and also asking questions about why girls weren't raising their hands in math class. And as I was working on my master's project in the Department of Communication at Western, it occurred to me that a graphic novel would be a way to inspire girls to consider STEM or STEAM skills and identify characters in a book that they could relate to.
Lucy, do you know these kids in this book?
Well, they weren't really based off of my friends. They were, like, sort of based off of, I don't know, like a
composite, maybe?
Yeah. It was just, like, all the different skills.
Do some of your friends think they recognize themselves?
Well, just a couple, but my friends don't really know that I write books.
Well, they do.
Well, they should if they. Well, they probably don't read the newspaper, right? People don't read newspapers anymore. But the thing that got me was that the mother writes the book and the daughter edits it, and I imagine the usual relationship between mother and daughter isn't always that smooth. were there some conflicts at times?
Well, not really. Well, just like sometimes on like the ideas of the book. Like this one is about a playground, and then they're like the general idea, like sometimes we're just like, which one should we do next? No, but I want to do this one next. It's kind of like that.
There are 10 books total.
Right.
We do
and
one every 6 months.
Have they all been thought out?
Pretty much. I mean, we have ideas for every book. It's a series called The Geeky Fab Five. And we try to take on issues that girls care about. They can be issues like, why aren't there any more monkey bars at school? Because they're broken. So they band together and find that they have the potential to solve problems at their age. But they also, there's a book on saving the monarch butterflies, which every second grader will come home and say, we need to save the monarchs. So the girls discover a garden that's under threat. They're learning. So every book is a different social issue. So we talk through the general story arc and then plan out every scene. Then I'll go ahead and type it up like a screenplay, which is what graphic novels and comics scripts look like.
It's kind of like she writes down what the bubble would have been, which is like, surprise Lucy or whatever, and then it'll be like, and then we'll have to write down Zara jumping up and down, big eyeball. She's wearing a blue shirt, green pants, and red shoes.
So do you give directions to the person that
you have,
does
yeah. to absolutely. For the artist who is actually in New York, our publisher has an artist. His name is Ryan
right.
Jample, and we need to give him direction on what each panel is. But then he can have his own way with it, too,
yeah.
and he comes up with great ideas.
At what point were you able to place this with the publisher?
We went, it was our idea, we came up with the ideas for the books, we had to develop a concept, and then we went to Comic-Con in San Diego and literally walked up to publishers that we had pre-researched with our printed concept books. They thought we were just asking for interviews, and when they realized that a 10-year-old girl was selling books, or we actually got a few nibbles, and Paper Cuts, which is the largest graphic novel publisher in the U.S., actually said, do you mind coming around the side of the booth and sitting down and talking to us? And that was our very first meeting.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we met them in San Diego. Then we went back to see them again in New York the same year. And they couldn't believe that we actually had made the effort to get to New York City on a train for 19 hours.
Wow.
And we signed with them that following February of 2017.
Do you mean to say you've already got 10 books?
We have concepted 10.
Concept, okay.
Yeah.
Is this the only one published?
The first one came out at the end of July of 2018, and number two, The Mystery of the Missing Monarchs, will be in January of 2019.
Mm-hmm. And the Geeky Fab Five, are they in all books?
Yes.
Yes, you insist on that, huh?
Yes, it's a...
I insist.
Every girl has her own character and her strengths and weaknesses, that Lucy really built these characters. And so we try to spotlight everyone in a different book and her skills.
How did you put together the characters, Lucy? How did you decide who would be what?
I knew that I wanted an odd number. For some reason, I just like odd numbers. And then, because there's five girls, and then I thought of, like, well, first off, there's Marina and Lucy. Lucy, the name based off of me, and Marina, the name based off of her.
Your sister.
Yeah, my sister is Marina. She's in college, not in sixth grade. And then I just thought, like, of funny things to do, but I just wanted them to be all very different, but differences can have like awesome friendships, which I wanted them to be different. And then it's like happy.
Well, each of them has a strength, and they, yes, you know, together they are able to solve problems that,
right.
Well, if they were all peas in a pod, it wouldn't work, right?
Correct.
Well, it's like superheroes. They all have different strengths, you know. Yeah. Math and so on.
Mm-hmm. And so, the STEM, actually it's called STREAM, believe it or not, it's right now science, technology,
robotics, engineering,
arts,
and math.
I like STEAM better than STEM because I taught English for 39
yes,
years. So.
Yes. And so they each exhibit.
Why
a
graphic
STEM
novel?
They are one of the largest. That particular genre is growing in the children's book category.
And it's a way to, like, it's kind of like another step forward into reading, like, the bigger books.
Trick non-readers into reading, right?
Yeah.
Right. They are a good, they're a gateway book, right?
I also
right
wanted them to be, like, easy to the mind, if you know what I mean. Like, just looking at the pictures while they're talking.
Actually, so they're cool. Very sophisticated. Comics in general, I think, sometimes get a bad rap that because there are pictures that somehow it makes it easy. But they, you know, children, there are sophisticated things happening in those images, and they need to be able to jump from one panel to the next. Sometimes time right has changed. The other thing that is interesting is that girls are reading more comics and more graphic novels now, and the simpler, there's a theory that called simplification of a face actually amplifies its characteristics, which then leads to identification. So the simpler the face, the more we start to see ourselves in the character, as opposed to just looking at a photograph of a certain
person. So where
person
did you learn all this?
I know, Western's awesome, isn't it? They were really, in particular, my advisor, who's the chair of the department down in Macomb, Pete Jorgensen, really encouraged me to pursue this book. And look at the way theoretically these operate for the readers and why kids like them. And so this became my project for my master's program.
Okay. Could we hear a page?
And yeah. Oh, sure.
I don't know how you read.
A lot of people, I'm sure, adults are not familiar with graphic. I was not allowed to read comic books when my mother was an English teacher. And
Right.
Well, that's because you were a difficult child.
I read every time I went over to my cousin's.
You snuck
read comics all afternoon.
Right. Well, that was the perception that they weren't literature.
Right.
And then women were really discouraged from reading them in the 50s and the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're actually being rejuvenated through Marvel and everything.
Well, there are
else.
Graphic novels for adults now that are perfectly
the first.
In fact, one just won. Mm-hmm. The National Book Award, or
I don't know. I haven't.
Chicago Tribune Award, I think.
The very first graphic novel was written by a man about the Holocaust, and that was for an adult. So kids' graphic novels came along later, which is really just a longer narrative. It's not a serial like a comic. It's a novel, but it looks like a comic.
How can you read from a graphic novel for us?
All right. You want us to read?
Yes.
Okay. I'll start with a narration and you can take the bubbles then. Okay. Chapter 1, First Day, New School. Things have been a little crazy since we moved into our new house. Hubble, our cat, sure loves playing hide and seek among all the moving boxes. What a goofball. I'm not sure who is more nervous about our first day at our new school, my sister and me or our mom. It may be Mom.
Lucy, got glue sticks? Marina, sanitary wipes?
Dad's cool, even if he makes dad jokes.
Sanitary wipes? Who wears diapers? Dad, you're gross. Yeah, yuck. Mom, we're all set to time to blast off. Hubble thought bubble. Hey, wait for me. Don't leave me behind in this disaster.
And then the last panel is... Zip, which is the cat jumping into the backpack to go to school for the first day.
Uh-huh. Right. Subversive.
Right.
Oh, he thinks he's the star.
So where can somebody buy a copy of this if they...
They're on Amazon.
Okay.
You can just go to Amazon. They're also in Barnes & Noble. So you can actually in our area go to Barnes & Noble. Books a Million, I think they're online. I'm not sure
Will school libraries have these?
Yes. School libraries, Kelowna Public Library, I believe Scott County Library, Moline. We're doing an event later on with a STEM event there. So, yes, librarians, children's librarians that we met at the American Library Association love this book.
Okay.
Really because girls just really burn through these graphic novels. They love them and they can't get enough of them.
And they're really in right now. They're just like, everybody's reading them.
Yeah, so.
So, Lucy, what's it like being a celebrated author?
Well, it's... really fun, but it's nervous. You get nervous sometimes because you're like, wait, you know about them? It's just like, I only thought my mom and friends knew about them.
Yeah.
Have you met the author, the artist?
We have not yet.
We should. We're going to the Brooklyn Book Fair in New York City, and we'll meet him there. And then we'll be in the Miami Book Fair in Miami, Florida.
We are?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Lucy, you learned something new today.
So, yes.
Learn something new every day.
So we'll hopefully meet Ryan in New York here soon.
Now, does he have, you say the Monarch Butterfly book, is that done?
That's written and it's now in concept. We have sketches and then that will be printed or published, I should say, in January of 2019.
Uh-huh. Go ahead, Laura.
Does the artist send you pictures of the panels and then you make corrections or suggest?
Yes. Well, we send him the script first.
Yeah, okay. So we'll send him the script and then he'll draw out the panels and like tiny little sketches, so they don't really have eyeballs yet, like so they have like the face thing, like the cross on their face, and then we'll say, well, the cat should be like on the left side, not the right side, and
so he
Lucy
makes those...
should be wearing different shoes,
and then he makes those changes, and then we come back with inks, which are just drawings, and then colored.
Okay.
Color.
With color, there's like that's like almost our last chance to change anything we want because it's the real color, but you don't see the words. Like if there was a bubble, a thought bubble, or a word bubble, there wouldn't be any words in it. And if there was like a banner trying to say something, there wouldn't be any words on it. And then when it, like, comes back to us and, like, full everything.
The lettering is done.
The lettering is okay. done.
Does, wow. the, does the artist make any suggestions yes. as to the text? Mm-hmm.
Well, no, but a lot of the sound effects are, yeah. are you know, the way they portray noise. Yeah. We'll write it into the script, but he'll often make suggestions. And our editor, if you look in the back of this particular book, there's a picture of our editor, Jim Salakrop, who used to work at Marvel, and the assistant
okay.
managing editor is Jeff Whitman. And they really help us with flow, with transitions. They're great to work with. And they just – it just – cracks is I think we crack them up that we've come from, you know, basically the middle of corn country. We're in New York City. While we were visiting there, they asked Lucy about some of their other titles that they were doing. There were unicorns, and they had a 12-year-old. I guess you were 11 at the time, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, Lucy, what do you think of these covers of these unicorns? And she's like, they're beautiful. Do these unicorns fart rainbows? And he's like, sure.
They could.
They could fart rainbows, Lucy. And I'm thinking, I'm at Broadway and 10th Street, not very far from the Stock Exchange, and we're having a business meeting, and yeah. this is what we're talking about, farting unicorns.
You have the Monarch Butterfly book is set to come out mm-hmm. in January. You're still working on it.
The script is done, yeah.
How about the rest of the books? Are you working on them?
Yeah.
We have the third book planned out, but not the full script yet, but...
You want to tell them what it's about? It's called Doggone Catastrophe.
Cat.
Catastrophe.
Oh,
yes. It's about animals, and that's all we're going to tell.
It's about an animal.
It's a surprise.
It's an animal shelter. The girls just always want to make a difference. And you know what grade school kids are like. They have no baggage. They just get out there and right. they want to do something. So in this case, the animal shelter is damaged after a storm, and they have to foster out the animals and have to come up with ideas to save them. So
is she giving away the plot?
Not all of it. Not the best parts. It would be on the back cover anyway. In fact, I would never do that.
So how long did it take you to do this particular script for this one?
Oh, this
book one took three years.
3 years?
3 years?
And about 20 drafts.
Because, like, we were going to make it, like, one of those, like, fat graphic novels that are, like, 200 pages. And then we narrowed it down to, like, 65 pages.
Mm-hmm. That,
and
per the publisher.
And we had to take out, like...
A lot of stuff.
We had to take out what would not be as important... Or something.
Was that the editor mm-hmm. telling you to
yeah.
do that?
Mm-hmm. And it actually works better. Mm-hmm. It moves a lot
faster.
Better.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, we went through. I had to write a canon, which is kind of the universe of the story. They don't ever age. You know, there are rules in this world. The cat thinks, but he doesn't talk to them. So it's a lot like Peanuts. You know, the kids mm-hmm. are always perpetually the same age. They, you know, they go to Earhart Elementary. They live in Normal, Illinois, you know, so.
Which is an actual city.
Right.
Yeah, they're very familiar with Normal, I'm sure.
Right.
We drive through it all the time on our way to Champaign. But anyway.
Did you pick Normal for a reason?
Yeah. We looked up, like, funny city and state names, and we're
they
like.
They couldn't believe that there was a town named Normal. They thought that was so funny that it was actually.
Especially Gabe.
Her brother, who is the voice of the cat.
Well, actually, they're a great town. Bug Tussle is the one I've always
yeah, right.
Oh, man, we missed out. That would have been good for the Monarch story. Is there,
right.
really, is there really a town named Bug Tussle?
There is a town in Arkansas named Bug Tussle, and I think that might be one in Kentucky as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you want to go to the state of Washington for funny hump tulips.
Oh, yeah.
Yallop.
As a matter of fact, Arkansas is a great place to look for strange names. One of the most American names is supposed to be Smackover, Arkansas.
Oh.
Smack. But a lot of those good names come from the French. Chemin Couvert, the covered bridge, Chemin Couvert became Smackover. And
oh
the same way, the Sea of Willows, Maridosier, became Maridosia.
Yeah.
So you find that all over the country.
Well, Moline.
Yeah.
Moulin,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, that's right.
So
City of Mills.
City yeah. of Mills. Yes, Normal. And we talked
and
about
corn.
Normal, though, being where a normal school was,
yes,
right? Where
it
there
is.
Was a teacher's
yeah.
college, much
yeah.
like Western or yeah. Macomb or Normal. But yes, so that's why it isn't Normal.
Well, it's nice to know you're Normal. That's good. Well, so, you have something that's going to occupy you for quite a while. Okay, so the first book is out. It's called The Geeky Fab Five, and it's not rocket science. Five girls, big problems, one school. And that book is out already and available. And more are coming. Liz and Lucy, Leroux, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
You have made the rest of us feel very inadequate today.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Okay. Well, we wish you great success with the series.
Thanks.
Well, Roald, you see how you wasted your childhood. You could have been writing books.
I was writing, but I wasn't visiting publishers and signing contracts.
I like the way Lucy was delighted to learn they're going to Miami.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
It is. It really is. It's just astounding. But so many things like that occur, you know. It's something out of the ordinary blossoms in somebody's life, and everything changes.
I mean, it's just...
Yeah, and to think that they have 9 more books to go. One is about ready, and then 8 more after that.
And apparently it all began when Lucy asked her mother one day, why don't girls raise their hands in math class?
Why don't you what?
Why don't girls raise their hands in math class?
That was the start of it. Huh?
They got to talking and said, well, maybe there should be a graphic novel about girls who have power and do answer questions and get things done. So in each of these series, these five girls, the Fab Five, decide, you know, they can get something done, whether it's building a new playground or habitat for monarch butterflies or whatever.
Hmm. Yeah.
They can make a difference.
Yeah. It's
and it is true that, you know, girls are taught that, you know, back 20 years ago, there was all sorts of talk about the math gene that boys had and girls didn't have. That's hogwash.
Boy, is it hogwash.
Yeah.
Talk to NASA about that.
Right. Well, they kept that well hidden, didn't they? The five mathematicians that...
Yeah, the five black women turned out to be the mathematicians on whom everybody's life depended.
Right.
I mean, it's just that
who
simple.
Checked to make sure the computer was doing it right.
Yeah. Lord of mercy. When you think of the sophistication that's built into life, not everyone, but a lot of people use GPS.
Right.
But the time, you know, the satellite up there, time operates a little differently up there than it does here on Earth. And so there has to be sophisticated computer activity to be sure that you have the times aligned. Otherwise, the GPS is going to be off by about 5 or 10 miles. So it's and think now what happens, Roald, when we have a solar flare and takes out all those satellites. Can you imagine how much we have come to depend on that
stuff?
Well,
yeah. I mean, things will come to a halt.
Yeah, it would. You couldn't check out at a grocery store. Telephones would cease working. It is just amazing.
And then imagine you're going down the highway in a driverless car.
Yeah. You don't want to be there when the solar flare hits.
No.
It's been a long time since we've had one that intense, but they do come up periodically. And no doubt it will happen at some point, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. Because right now everything is so dependent on computers. That's why they're worried about hackers.
Right.
They worry about hackers could take down our whole electric grid. And that's not one of those sky blue things. That's something that is really possible.
Right.
I don't know. It's a complicated world. In this complicated world, what are you recommending for books to read?
Well, I just came across One of my former students, Mike Clark, who just retired, which makes me feel even older, and he's read a book that it turns out a lot of people have read, and I don't know if you're familiar with it, Hope Never Dies.
I've heard of it, that's all.
The subtitle is An Obama-Biden Mystery.
An Obama-Biden Mystery.
It's by Andrew Schaefer, and it is a mystery story. It takes place 8 years after Obama and Biden have left the White House, of Biden sitting in his room grouching because Obama never keeps in contact with him, not even a postcard. He's over there, you know, skiing with celebrities in Switzerland and doing that. I think he could send a postcard, and all of a sudden he hears something outside his window, and it opened up, and it's Obama, who has come to tell him that one of Biden's close friends, who's a conductor on the Amtrak between Washington, and has been murdered. And Obama and Biden set out to solve the mystery.
A likely story.
And, well, and it turns out, on one level, it's hilarious just because of these two characters. And it sort of is true to their character. I then subsequently went and read a review of this, and it turns out that Obama is sort of the Sherlock Holmes type, and Biden is his Watson. And in a series of escapades, they end up solving the mystery and finding the murderer. It is the first book in what's going to be a series of Obama-Biden mysteries. So if you want to take your mind off current events and just sort of relax and do a little last-minute summer reading, even though it's September, I would recommend Hope Never Dies.
Hope Never Dies. And there's Clinton's mystery, the president is missing.
Right.
I don't know. We play fast and loose with that. We use living characters and fictional settings. There was a time you wouldn't do that.
No.
You really wouldn't. You had to wait till somebody was well dead before you took liberties with them. But
I would be interested to see what Obama and Biden think of it, but I haven't read anything about it. But I can't imagine they wouldn't be pleased.
They haven't called. I mean, they haven't called you lately.
They haven't called me. But no, I haven't. There's been no reports on how they. Maybe they haven't read it. I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, who wrote this?
Andrew Schaefer, Schaffer.
And
Hope
it's
Never Dies.
Hope Never Dies, and
an Obama Biden mystery.
Ah, yes, that sounds like the very thing we need for the end of the summer. Well, that'll do it for this session. Thank you very much for attending. Roald and I'll be back next week. I think we'll have a chance to talk about some books then, and toward the end of summer. And you have a good time, and we'll see you next week on the next edition of Scribble.